Welcome to the Callaway Golf Podcast, part of the Callaway Podcast Network. Here's your host, Jeff Newbarth.
Man, you think we can get a better name?
Oh, no.
What was that?
Do you know what I just realized?
What?
I printed rundowns and I left them on the
printer. All right, well, you go get the rundown while I'll explain to everybody what we're doing here. Welcome to the Callaway Golf Podcast, Jeff and Lex. Xander Schauffele is going to be joining us in mere moments. He actually is listening to us right now as I do this little preamble. We just wanted to look. You know, we get it. The world right now is complicated. It's challenging. It's not easy. Our hearts and prayers and thoughts are with everybody who's struggling with what's going on. But we're here to provide maybe a little respite, a little chance to get away from all the craziness going on in the world. And we're going to continue to do that here at Callaway. Why have we changed the name of the show to the Callaway Golf Podcast? Because we know some really, really smart people at Apple. Yep. And they're a really, really smart company. And they said, you got to change the name to something people will search.
Yeah, SEO, right?
Yeah.
Search engine optimization.
So the example they used to me is, you know what Dan Patrick, our good buddy Dan Patrick, who we sponsor, you know what he calls his show? It's called the Dan Patrick Show.
The Dan Patrick Show.
So that's the example we're going to go with. We hope you like it. We'd like you to subscribe, wow. Rate. I'm going to read it all as one word. Review. Watch us on YouTube.
For now.
It's Tuesday. Send in any questions you want us to answer. Mm-hmm. Shipshow@callawaygolf.com or call us 760-804-GOLF. Keep an eye out on CallawayGolf.com, Apple TV, Roku. We have lots of new content. We're going to have podcasts 2 a week featuring our tour pros.
It's pretty exciting, actually.
Yeah, we have Xander today. We have Morgan Pressel on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And look, whether our offices are open or not, we're still going to do them.
Yep.
I took like all this equipment home yesterday, so I have a full podcast studio. Miles the Cat is sitting right now recording his own podcast, which I'm very excited.
Meow.
It's called I've Been Practicing Social Distancing for 18 years, so he's all good. But anyway, without further ado, let's say hello to our neighbor here in San Diego and PGA Tour winner, Xander Schauffele. What's going on, Xander?
What's going on, guys?
Well, let's get to the important stuff. Mm-hmm. You're getting a flat tire changed. Everything okay?
Okay. We're all settled here.
All right. And then the breaking news that just happened that you brought up to me seconds before we started, good job delaying, Lex, is the PGA Tour has announced all events through the Byron Nelson May 7th through 10th are postponed. The PGA Championship in Harding Park has been postponed. What's your reaction to kind of, you know, because this is just happening so quick and it's every second it seems like it's something else. What's your reaction to those new developments?
Yeah, I mean, I think I told you. My girlfriend doesn't really know quite yet. I'm gonna let her know when I get back home. But I think she's gonna kill me. I don't think she's seen me at home this for this, you know, duration of time. But you know, I don't know. I think everyone's in the sort of same mood. I think everyone's on the same page about this. There's a bit of unity in the struggle, and everyone's kind of just waiting for the next thing, what we're going to be told, what we can or cannot do, what we should or shouldn't do, and then we have to make our own decisions as always.
All right, so let's kind of go through a little bit of what we're going to do on this pod. So we put out on our Twitter account in the Callaway community and in a thread in the Hacker's Paradise the opportunity to ask Xander and Morgan Pressel questions. So there's still time to ask Morgan. You can also email those questions, shipshow@callawaygolf.com. Mm-hmm. Or call 760-804-GOLF, and your very own voice could ask Morgan a question if we could figure out how to do that from home.
Oh, yeah.
We'll figure it out. But anyway, I got this huge list of questions, and Lex and I are going to kind of go through them. They're a mix of golf questions, kind of a mix of what are you doing to sort of pass the time, and Ethan from our other office keeps texting me questions, mostly about competitive eating. So we'll get to those last if there's time. But I guess the first one, I'll just start right at the top here, is from NVGolfer80 on the Hacker's Paradise forum, Nevada Golfer 80. What are you currently watching to pass the time?
Before I left to get this tire changed, Westworld. I sort of fell asleep after the first season and figured this is a great time to watch the second season so I can then have even more time to watch the new third season.
Nice. I've been watching on Netflix the Formula One Drive to Survive season 2.
Oh, cool.
I'm almost done with that. There's a really cool series. I was having this conversation with my mom. As I said to my mom, like, she likes history. I said, hey, there's this really cool series called World War II in Color on Netflix. She goes, oh, cool. What's the name of it? I said, it's called World War II in Color. So we had a little miscommunication there.
Kind of the theme of the day here, huh?
Yeah, so I watched that one. That was pretty cool. And then Harper Page and I are watching on the Disney Plus, which is like saving grace of this whole thing.
It is.
There's a series called The Imagineers, and it's basically how they created the park in the 60s and then the 70s. And fun fact, my grandfather on my mom's side worked for Walt Disney and was one of the people who visited the park in Florida when it was just swamp and everything. I remember him coming back home. He said to my mom, like, she was in college, I think, at the time, like, yeah, this thing's crazy. It's just like swampland. But seeing how these parks kind of arise from nothing, it's kind of a cool little six-part series.
I'm 1,000% going to add that to my list.
Hey, what are you watching, Lex?
I indulged in Love is Blind last night while I was doing some laundry. It is every bit as wild as you would imagine, nice. I think. Yeah. Okay, Xander, next question we have on our list here. Let's see. Oh, from Powderpuff, what are you going to be doing for the next few weeks instead of playing tournaments since things have been postponed?
That is still to be determined, I think. I got back from the Players on Saturday night, and I worked out once, and I need to make that a better routine just because they keep extending this period, which makes me feel like I have even more time to relax and get ready. But
well, if you want some bar class routines, I can help you out there.
Yeah, Lex is a bar instructor.
I'm a bar instructor.
Yeah. Pros always complain about how we don't have enough, like, downtime or an off season to sort of, you know, make any changes or adjustments that we would want to make. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, my excuse is taken away from me and I'm struggling with it. So I'm trying to deal with that part. But, you know, just staying busy, maybe trying to pick up a book, read a little bit. I heard that's good for you. work out more. talk to Jeff, play with my new puppy.
Oh, yeah.
Your dog's like the cutest dog in the world.
That's great. You can train it yourself.
He's pretty adorable.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have the patience for that. I'm kind of learning that the last 2 days already. It's only been 2 days of what you want to call quarantining, and I'm starting to lose it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we've been doing this thing at home, Paige and I. It's called a quarantini.
Oh, yeah.
So it's basically Tito's, Rocks, and Olives, and then you stay 6 feet away from each other, and you drink your quarantini by yourself. I think it's kind of catching on. Hey, the other thing that recently just got canceled is local qualifying for the U.S. Open and qualifying for the U.S. Women's Open has been canceled, according to the USGA. They also canceled the U.S. Women's Amateur Four Ball and the U.S. Amateur Four Ball, which were scheduled in April and May. Look, you know, who knows when sports is going to come back. But, you know, I just think, you know, the U.S. Open, I think, is going to be – that was sort of where I had my earmark was like, oh, maybe that'll be the first big event we get in golf with a couple event lead up to it. Mm-hmm. The schedule is going to be crazy as we get to it. I don't want to speculate on stuff, but I did wonder how they were going to do qualifying because, you know, local to sectional or I guess it's called final qualifying now. Mm-hmm. They got rid of sectional probably because Holly can't say it, so we'll figure it out. All right, Xander, next one from Zumanger. Favorite track in Southern California? Now, mine's the Del Mar Racetrack, but I'm assuming they mean golf course for you.
Favorite track? Probably Torrey Pines, I'd say.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah, Torrey Pines or Riv. Someone asked me that, what I play every day. If I had to play the same tees every day with whoever, I pick either Torrey or Riv. Surprisingly,
yeah, I'm with you on Riv. Yeah. I think Riv is the best. That is just such a great golf course. All right, Lex, what's the next one here?
Next one from our good buddy Alex367 on THP and on Twitter. What are some of your favorite food spots in San Diego? I know a few. I would say.
any taco shop. Drawn blanks here. I eat, if I want Asian food, I go to Convoy. If I want Italian food, I go to Little Italy. Mm-hmm. Kind of feel like I'm like the rest of everyone. Hane Sushi is kind of where I get it.
Ooh,
Sushi Oda is obviously safe. Brother and sister restaurants.
Nice. Shout out to our buddy Chef Jason, who his whole restaurant group. I mean, it's so sad. They basically, you know, obviously for good reason, good cause. But a lot of these restaurateurs are going to need our support when when they come back. So order takeout if it's available.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not available, make sure you support these things. All right, let's go to the next one here from Kino Mike's THP. Xander, would allowing a rangefinder and or GPS speed up play?
Yeah, I think so. I guess it's different.
It's different if you're playing on tour, because by the time you get to your ball, you're caddy and you have a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
But like when you're playing out at Torrey, you know, when you guys have those early tee times, do you use a rangefinder?
Yeah, when I'm just playing.
When you're just playing, because I think it's two different questions. I think on tour, you know, I don't think the gathering of yardage is what makes golf slow on tour. I think the fact that you guys are playing for millions and millions of dollars and the pressure need to be, you know, just like when we're doing work here, we're not like rushing to get it done. We're trying to do the best we can.
Quality.
But when you're playing, you know, with your buddies at Torrey, like I'm assuming you use a rangefinder just to get through it.
Yeah. I mean, you're definitely right. There's a huge, there's always pace of play. I wonder what the stats are on Thursday, Friday versus Saturday, Sunday. Obviously there's less people Saturday, Sunday, but like you just don't play. If I'm playing with you out at Torrey Pines, you know, I will just laser the pin and pull a club out of my bag.
Right.
But when I'm playing in a tournament, there's consequences for hitting bad shots versus when I'm playing with you, you know, there might be some consequences because you might make fun of me, but I don't really care about that. You know, I'm trying to, like, my well-being is on the line during a tournament. So that's where the pace of play kind of comes in. I mean, I think getting a golf cart would be the easiest solution to scratch time, since I don't know if anyone's ever tried to just walk the route of a golf course without any clubs or anything. You kind of see how long that takes you. You know what I mean? So
I'm pretty excited because I'm pretty sure Xander just invited me to play Torrey with him.
I think he might have. Maybe.
Hello, Xander. You still there? Okay. Good. All right. Well, we better go to the next. We better go to the next question.
Next
quickly.
One. I'll take this one from our buddy Stump Nab. How do you integrate technology into your practice when you're out on the range?
I wouldn't say a lot. I integrate technology into like sort of data and statistics analysis, all this stuff into creating a plan. I try to make my practice as feel as possible. I use a TrackMan on the range just for carry distances. But besides that, I'll use a level on a putting green. But in terms of technology, it's pretty much as far as I go. I don't really use a whole lot of devices. But in terms of collecting data to see sort of outliers and what I do really well, what I do poorly, just to make myself sort of, you know, I'm always biased on what I do. So is my team. So I think it's more so in creating a plan is where the technology is used the most.
I'm looking at a picture from the ad shoot, and you had one of those whoops on. Are you still using that? And is that been helpful in terms of a technology? I'm kind of fast. I haven't got one yet, but I'm kind of thinking about it.
I mean, they're coming. Yeah. What's that, Lex?
Oh, I was just going to say, well, Jeff already wears an Apple Watch, so then
I
you have one on each wrist.
Well, that's why I haven't gotten it yet.
Right.
Because that would look weird.
Well, the big thing is with a lot of guys are it's actually, I don't use the Whoop anymore. I think it's a great device. There's been a few players who are, you know, are pretty involved with the company. We've learned that the bicep band is actually you get the best readings.
The bicep band?
Rory. It's like a bicep. Rory's, he's been wearing it for a while, so if you don't see it on his wrist, they've kind of switched to wearing it. So it's like kind of right under their sleeve.
So I could do that with the Apple Watch.
I don't know if they have you can talk to Eddie Q. He might get like a custom made bicep thing for you.
I will say
don't,
that Eddie.
Don't work
Eddie,
out too much. We're yeah. Here.
Eddie plays a lot of golf, and he won the Pro-Am this year at Riv.
Oh.
So. Whoever his partner was, they played pretty well. I think the technology thing's interesting. I remember one thing we talked about at the Ed Shoot, because we sometimes make Xander use clubs he's not going to game just so we can get some assets with him and stuff. And one of those was one of the triple track putters.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you saying that you're like, maybe this would be something I'd kind of want to practice with. And Lex and I were just down in Sea Island, so we left Ponte Vedra and drove to Sea Island where we shot with David
Angelotti.
I can't say his last name. and he's super into the alignment thing and the fact that so many of us just don't line up right.
Yeah.
And he kind of was saying the same thing. He putts with a Toulon blade, but he practices with a triple track 10. Do you think there's any, would something like that be helpful, or do you think just you only want to practice with your gamer?
No, absolutely. There's a lot of validity to that. A lot of the stuff I do with my putting coach are sort of eye calibration drills. And so a triple track, the technology behind it is that. You know, it's sort of using a, wouldn't call it a training aid to help you, but in a sense it almost is, because those three lines really help you one, line up your golf ball, since there's two on the side, so you can kind of tell once you start comparing all the lines when you're lining up to the hole, if you're, you know, aiming at the right edge of the hole, the center of the hole. So, I mean, I think I still use – I putt with one line right now. I use a triple track for a little bit. It was a little bit too many lines for me, but when I'm at home, I still use some of the triple track balls just, you know, when I'm kind of practicing just to see where I'm lining up and how I'm lining up as a training aid. So I completely agree with the statement.
Yeah, I think you definitely make a good point, and it's cool to see that, like, you can use it just either way, you know, however you want. We've been talking about that in the office quite a bit recently, especially on the ball, of how to use the ball when you're practicing and see roll, and we'll actually have some content on that pretty soon.
Well, can we just tease that? So, yeah. Xander, we got Phil for 2 hours the other morning.
I wasn't sure if I could
say
it or not.
At the players. Oh, I'm saying it. I don't care.
Okay, great.
And Phil, I asked him the question with the camera on, how do you use triple track on the green? And let's just say Phil went crazy. He showed three different ways. Then he grabbed a 64-degree wedge, and he did something magical with three golf balls using triple track in different alignments on the green with a 64-degree wedge. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's impressive.
See, this is what I would do. You live in San Diego. I would just be at Phil's house every day. Like, hey, Phil, I'll stay 6 feet away from you. Let's practice short game. That'd be kind of fun. Can you imagine just showing up at Phil's house, knocking on the door?
With a hazmat suit.
I don't know.
Just bring him. Just bring him some coffee. It has to be his coffee.
He's kind of a social media guy now. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can be pumping out as much content as him.
You'd have cameras on you for sure.
That's true.
For sure.
All right, get the next one here, Lex.
All right.
I'm not that guy.
No, we know.
All right, next question from @Parrot. What is the one shot in your career for which you'd like to have a do-over?
I mean, the most recent one. My putt on 18 in Hawaii. when I hit it 8 feet past. When it was windy, I would love to have that putt back, because I think I'm capable of two putting from 33 feet,
no matter how
windy it is.
I know how that feels. Jeff has made it very clear to our listeners that I have a very similar.
No, Lex.
I don't have a similar problem.
Putt,
I'm not comparing myself to you.
Your
I'm
putt
sorry.
Would have been, your putt would have been 33 feet off the green.
I've been told you I know, need I a metronome.
That would have made me feel better, though. At least if I hit it in the bunker, I would have felt like I have no chance at all, but yeah. I kind of dangled myself with hope, and it really ruined it. But
we are fully aware that you are capable of two putting.
Yeah, that was a tough situation. Yeah. Though. That was a tough situation. All right.
Next one.
Well, I'm just answering him honestly.
We appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Let's see. If you weren't going to be a professional golfer, this is from Bunker Snot. Well, I always hate reading his name. If Xander wasn't a professional golfer, what does he think he would be doing?
You know, I feel like I would actually be some sort of, like, physical therapist doing treatment. I'm pretty intrigued by all that kind of work.
I like that. I mean,
I've
think...
become more... It's become sort of like a hobby. Like, whenever, you know, I have two people I work with, Maris and Rana here in San Diego, and I always, if you ask them, they'll know that I ask, like, a million questions. I'm like that kid. I play 21 questions every time they work on me because I want to remember what does what. The body is just really interesting to me, and it's a big part of our work, so I'm not sure if I'm interested in it because it affects my golf so much, but, you know, I feel like I've thought about that, and I'm like, you know, I feel like I could actually do this.
Yeah, I think, especially with, like, our generation, Xander, because I think you and I are pretty close in age, with, like, we're pretty aware of our bodies and, like, how they respond to food.
Yeah, no, I took that as a shot.
Sorry, Jeff. I think he's used to it from me by now. And he self-inflicts when he asks if I was alive during certain times.
That's true.
But I think it's really cool that you see that as something. And in this quarantine time, it would be really neat if maybe you got a couple of, like, tips from your physical therapist or your team on how people can, like, stay in shape or stay, like, aware of their bodies.
Yeah, I mean, Phil tweeted that he had two choices. He was either going to work out super, super hard and get in amazing shape, or he was going to sit and overeat and watch stuff on TV. And so far, he said that the latter was winning. But I have a strange feeling that means Phil's actually working out. All right, Xander, we got a couple equipment-related questions. So let's try to bundle these together. This is from Obet on the THP. Mm-hmm. From a performance standpoint, when choosing a golf ball, what is one metric you put over the other? His examples are ball speed off the driver, descent angle on iron, spin off partial wedges. What is that one data point you're looking at for choosing a golf ball?
Tricky one. It's not just one. I think a great golf ball has multiple. And if I had to choose the most important, you know, I'd probably say spin on those partial wedge shots or like a knockdown shot. I feel like that's sort of an important shot that a lot of the pros use and utilize often. But I'd say my, you know, ball speed off the driver is, you know, important. I think someone told me a stat, like all the top, you know, if you want like all the top, most of the top players in the world, at least like an underlying factor is that, you know, ball speed for them is all, you know, 175 plus, you know, obviously there's a few people who aren't there, but for the most part, you know, it's become sort of top heavy on being, you know, distance biased. So obviously ball speed of the driver is really important. And then, for me personally, I'd say I've changed a little from that angle. I don't crave as much speed with the driver. Obviously I know it's really important, but I think like around the greens and partial wedge shots is sort of where I like to live, just because I know I always have speed with the driver and I need to get better with those two that I just listed off.
Well, plus when you are aware of your short game, right, it's setting you up for better putting opportunities, which our guy J-Man from THP wants to know, what's one go-to putting drill that everyone can do?
My favorite is, I like to, it's actually an interesting one. Basically, zero out is what I call it. I like to sort of go to a straight putt and identify a straight putt and just either stare at it or putt on it. So when I'm on the course, if I'm trying to read certain breaks or anything, like if I'm not going to golf for a little time here, obviously with what's going on. And the first thing I do when I go to a putting green will be to find a straight putt and I'll sit on it and hit it. Like I've seen Tiger do it a bunch when he gets to, you know, if he's not doing his little drills, he'll find a straight putt. He'll sit on it for a little bit and he'll hit it.
He's
just
pretty
so
good.
He's pretty good, and our bodies and our eyes realize what straight is. So then once you move to a little bit of break, right edge, a ball out right, a cup out right, two cups out right, you can sort of identify and, you know, create a baseline for yourself.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you a Tiger question then, since you just teed it up for me. What was the coolest thing about playing for him as your captain down at the President's Cup?
You know, I think everyone, you know, we all know sort of a similar amount to Tiger just based on, you know, the media and, you know, his accolades and all that stuff. But sort of getting to know him, I feel like the coolest thing was how passionate he still is. You know, he's like a kid in a candy store when it comes to competing. And obviously that's why he's so good, because he's been doing it for so long and he's, you know, got more drive than a kid trying to go play on a college team, you know, and he's done it all already. So I feel like that was probably, I get almost charming, I guess, but it was just really cool to see, you know, one of our greats still hungry to win, and sort of he shared his experiences with us and explained stories and examples just to fire our team up when we were behind, and it was pretty inspiring.
Yeah, I thought it, you know, it's funny, I'm not always a huge fan of watching golf in December, you know, November, December, because it's kind of football time. But that got really interesting and really captivating. All right, the next question, this one I'll ask Ethan's question from in the office, because it relates to, you talked about Tiger being a kid. Let's just say, Xander, if you took these 8 weeks and you had a choice of either designing your own video game or modifying an existing video game, which game would it be and why?
And the new MLB game just dropped today.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I
might go buy that.
Let's see. I do dabble a little bit into video games. I played Call of Duty, the new Call of Duty I've played recently.
Pretty good one.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, it's since we're quarantined, there's no better way to talk to your friends through a headset, I guess.
That's true. That's true. My 14-year-old son, Landon, is so excited for quarantine because he now all he can do is play video games.
Yeah, you know, I wish we could be outside, and I wish all the kids could play outside instead of playing video games.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sort of old school when it comes to that mindset, but I don't know. I don't I don't know what I would switch to any video game, but I do play a few.
Yeah, I think Landon played so many seasons that the Dolphins keep winning Super Bowls. That's, you know, how far in the future he is. Icy Shanks from THP wants to know, which major do you consider the hardest to win? I think they're all really hard to
win. Maybe the British? Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think. The Masters is, I think the more you play it, the better chance you should have to win it.
Yeah, just smaller field.
With your game.
Yeah.
Smaller field. It's, you know, pins are always similar. If you show up with the correct game and mindset, that's, you know, it helps to know a course. Obviously, you're playing against guys who've won there a lot before, so that makes it more tricky. The U.S. Open is always tricky. It's always difficult. The reason I say British, the PGA Championship, likewise as well. Sometimes scoring's been, you know, as low as, you know, when Brooks won 20-something under.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And other times it's been, you know, it's been as high as, you know, a couple under, even par wins. So it's kind of a mixed bag. The reason I say British, I feel like there's a little bit of luck with the British just from what I've experienced, is you really need to be in the correct wave.
Totally. You're 100%
right. There's so many stats coming out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was talking to Adam Scott, and he was explaining to me, you know, like 5 or 6 years ago, I forgot where they were playing, but he was in a wave with guys, and he was like one of two people to make it out, and he was like in 50th place.
Yeah,
so like he played some of the best golf we could possibly play and barely made the cut. So it's like, that's kind of, you know, and that's just part, it's just part of it, you know, and I think that aspect of it is, it makes it more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, the first Open I worked was 2010 at St. Andrews, and that's on that Friday where they had that weather where Oosthuizen shot in the 60s because he was, like, first off because no one knew who the heck he was. Uh-huh. And he probably beat the field by, like, 10 or 15 that day. And guys like Rory played out of their mind and shot in the mid-80s because it was so
that's
crazy.
So bad.
I mean, like, it was literally the TV compound, they had metal down instead of the dirt. They always put the trucks and everything on the metal, and it was like hail was hitting the metal. It was so loud, and it was like impossible to play. So you're right. I think that has to be the answer because that's beyond your control. That's the complete. How do you deal with the time changes when you travel overseas to play in various golf tournaments? Does that bother you or not really?
Yeah, of course, it bothers everyone. I go over a little earlier. My sort of thing I've done with the British is a few guys have done it. I like to just try to make it is obviously. In Europe, so I just go over. You know, I went to France and Germany last year, and I just will make sort of trips out of the whole thing. I'll take my family, my girlfriend, and we'll go over there, enjoy, you know, 3, 4 nights, 5 nights, wherever, kind of get your mind off of it and show up, you know, on Saturday or Sunday at the tournament, kind of ready to go. And then your body's already almost adjusted to the time change versus showing up on like a Monday. You know what I mean?
And having to do the quick switch. Yeah.
Yeah, hit by a train, basically.
Yeah. Are you a guy who, like, will you seek out advice from, like, your friends on tour if it's something that you feel unfamiliar with on a course? Or, like, what's that channel kind of like for you guys?
Absolutely. You know, I've asked for help from pretty much every veteran that I know, I think. At several different locations and courses and setups. I just, you know, I'm not one to think I'm better than anyone else or above anyone, especially, you know, my first couple of years on tour. Even now, I still ask for help, you know, from the veterans that I know. And they're more reluctant to tell me. They don't really want to help me anymore. versus when I was first out, I was more innocent. Now, you know, I think I'd fire back with, you know, I'm in their realm now. I've learned a little bit of trash talking from some of the veteran golfers. So,
right.
You know, it's all good and fun.
We got 3 more questions for you, then we'll let you get going. And they're not all questions. I guess the first one is, when you were playing a practice round this year at Riv on Tuesday, you were playing with Cantlay, among others, and on 13, he hit it pretty far right and almost killed us. And I tried to make a joke to him. And he didn't like the joke. Do you think he just doesn't like me personally? Or do you think, were you guys in like the middle of some competitive round there or whatever?
Clearly Jeff's been thinking about this for a while.
Well, I mean, he almost impaled Trevor with a driver. And then like, you know, like literally it was like right by the tripod. So like we moved all this stuff for him and I'd said something just to kind of lighten the mood. And there was no lightening of the mood. Was there something, was there some big game going on there? Or does he just hate me?
No.
Okay.
When Ty and I play, we always play for a fair bit.
Okay.
I've gotten smoked by him, so that leads us to playing even more. But no, I've become pretty, you know, good friends with Pat now, and I know him pretty well. And it's just Pat. Like, everyone on his team knows, you know, who he is. He's, you know, he's not one to go out of his way to, you know, make someone feel, you know, warm and fuzzy. He just kind of handles his business.
All right.
He's actually pretty good. He's pretty funny. He's definitely, you know, he's an oddball. He's definitely a weird dude. I mean, I think I'm a weird dude. It's weird how we get along. Obviously, I probably would have laughed at your unfunny joke, but he wouldn't. So.
Well, you probably should have told me, because I would have just kicked his ball like 10 feet to the right, and he would have been out of bounds behind the truck.
Well, now you know.
Yeah.
If you just want to step on it or
totally.
Throw behind a tree, I'll give you a cut of what we're playing for.
He was in such a bad spot and had literally zero shot to get on the green, and he didn't hit it on the green because it was impossible where he was. So you didn't need any help from me, but it was kind of interesting. And then the last one I had for you before we have to say something nice about Cliff. Don't let me forget that, Lex.
Oh, right.
Is a lot of these last questions are, what can a golfer do at home? If they're stuck at home for the next, you know, God knows how long it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're stuck at home, and whether it's in their basement or you know, mirrors they have or in their patio backyard, what can they be doing to keep their golf game relatively sharp? Like, what, any advice you would give to the average golfer at home?
Oh, I know. It's actually pretty interesting. If you're stuck in your house, the best thing you can do is, there's actually no great advice. You know, I say obviously stretching. And
yeah, that's what I just wrote down, stretch.
Straight. Yeah, of course. Like, you know, keeping your body, try to eat clean. One is the tricky thing about being indoors is, like, for me personally, I'm so active normally being outdoors, and I spend so much time on my feet moving around. It's not like I'm a football player or soccer player where I'm, like, logging and doing suicides and sprints and all this stuff, but I do walk a lot, and I'm pretty active, and, you know, I did wear that Whoop band, and I learned, how, you know, how many steps I take and how many calories I burn, and now that I'm indoors, I got to kind of watch what I'm eating because I'm not very active anymore. So, you know, my goal is to try and be active, stretch, try and keep the mind clear. You know, golfers, I think what we all have in common is that we're all tinkers, and we all sort of get antsy when it comes to, you know, trying to be at ease. We all just want to get out, you know, on some green grass and do our thing. So just kind of finding ways to distract yourself. It's a great time to sort of, you know, self-judge or work on your, you know, on your flaws or anything you can do. I mean, just try and get yourself away from golf would probably be my best advice.
Oh, I like that. That's a good one. I've been masking a foot injury with this desk. We built a desk in here so no one would see the foot injury, but I finally decided to stay. I'm done with it. So I got on the Peloton for the first time yesterday.
Wow, ambitious.
It felt
for
pretty
your
good.
First day out
well,
of the
I did a low impact.
Okay.
I'm going to jump on the Peloton 5 days a week during this thing. Stretching, I think. The other thing I thought you could do, I wanted to get your take on this, Xander, is you could take your bed and the mattress and, like, turn it up sideways and turn your bedroom into a mini driving range. I'm sure most people's significant others wouldn't mind if you just started, you know, full on, you know, hitting drivers in the bedroom,
because
the mattresses should dampen it.
Yeah, totally. It's not going to rebound off a spring at all.
No. Well, you got
to
have
trying to get some reps in.
Yeah, got to get some reps in. I don't know. I think putting. I think you could probably do some creative putting drills around the house. Mm-hmm. Look, if you have a great idea for what your fellow golfer should be doing, hit us up at Shipshow Callaway Golf, shipshowcallawaygolf.com. Call us 760-804-GOLF or send a video at Shipshow Callaway Golf of maybe you practicing at home. I'm not endorsing the idea of full swings in the house, but maybe you can work on some short game stuff. Could be kind of cool.
Could be. There's also backyards. You know?
Yeah, backyards, right, if you have one of those. Last thing, Xander, our buddy Cliff Ensley here, our senior photographer, who I don't know if you listened to Cliff on the podcast a couple weeks ago, but Cliff has actually been bitten by a poisonous rattlesnake.
Aren't all rattlesnakes poisonous?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But it makes the story sound better.
Okay.
He tried to pick a snake up just because he thought it was his moment to be the sort of...
Gosh.
Yeah, the what's the guy's name?
Huh?
He was trying to be,
Steve Irwin.
He was trying to be Steve Irwin. So he watched a lot of those shows, then he decided to pick the rattlesnake up and it bit him. If you haven't listened to that, go check it out in the archives.
Yeah.
But Cliff took a photo of you at our ad shoot in December, and it made the cover of Golf Magazine, and you were cool enough to sign the cover for him. So thanks for doing that.
But thank you.
Any thoughts on, I mean, you have multiple covers this month. You were on both the magazines.
I know, someone texted me saying, man, you must have a really good agent. And I was like, I mean, I guess. I wasn't going to give him that much credit, but.
Yeah, no, don't give Ross that much credit. I gave all the credit to your dad.
Yeah, I know.
Give your dad. I'm convinced your dad would be the greatest podcast host ever.
Oh, he's got a good voice for it.
Great
for sure.
Voice. He's a little unfiltered. It'd be great. It'd be great.
Can I tell a really great story? Yeah. Well, I think it's a good story.
Fire.
Go ahead, Lex.
Okay. So
hesitation to that opening.
I know. Well, now I have so much pressure. Well, no, this is just a nice story that has to do with your golf magazine cover. So we were traveling back from Florida last Thursday, and we had given Cliff a lot of crap about, like, posting this Instagram story of seeing the magazine in the wild on the way there. He had, like, gone into one of the little news shops and videoed the magazine out in public. And we had just gotten through security, and everyone was just feeling kind of stressed, you know, with, like, how panicky everyone is and traveling all day and all that stuff. And we're standing there, and all of a sudden Cliff just goes, "So you guys want to go see my magazine cover?" And then we all laughed, and it was really funny.
It's amazing.
It was great comedic relief.
Cliff is pretty good for comedic relief.
Yeah.
Well, Xander, thank you so much for spending about 45 minutes with us. Sorry if we didn't get to everyone's questions.
Hopefully your tires changed.
We did get lots of, hopefully the tires changed by now. Look, you know, we can't wait to see you back out on the golf course competing, because that means the world's in a better place. So we thank you for spending some time with us, and I'm going to text you offline about this round at Torrey. I'm pretty sure you're going to text me that it's not safe for us to be out there. So I'll just.
Yeah, I don't know. We're not supposed to hang out anymore.
The good news is with social distancing and the fact that we would play different tees, we would never see each other than on the green because if you made me pick up after a certain amount of strokes, there's a good chance that holes I wouldn't even do that at all. Maybe on the par threes. But Xander, thanks so much for spending some time with
us.
We will be back on Thursday with Morgan Pressel. So get your questions in. We gotta change the email address.
Oh, we do. Oh, that's gonna be
tough. Oh, God. Thanks for listening to the Callaway Golf Podcast. We'll see you next week.
There you go.